Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of Stochastic Gradient Descent, Finding the Global Minimum One Episode at a Time. So Stochastic Gradient Descent, or SGD for short, is a podcast hosted during the great quarantine of the 2020s by Sagar and Corey, two University of Texas at Austin, Master of Science in Business Analytics, MSBA for short, graduates from 2019. The show's first season aims to be like a glorified audio diary of us catching up with our fellow MSBA alum in a semi-informal setting and finding out what they've done since graduation. Since this is the first episode, your hosts, Corey and Sagar, will introduce themselves. So for those of you who don't know, I'm Corey Nguyen. I'm a young blood from Texas, but I moved to California halfway into 2019 to work as a data scientist for Chevron. I'm a gamer, rapper slash rap head, and some people even call me a tactical wizard. Just don't ask me who these people are, because I don't know them. Sagar?
All right. Yes. Thank you, Corey. Once again, welcome all of our listeners. I'm Sagar. I came to the United States in 2018 for my master's program at UT Austin, and I've been working ever since as an analyst for Verbo. One thing you should know about me is that I make a lot of jokes, 75% of which are bad. So if you hear a bad joke, it's just me meeting expectations. But enough about us, Corey. I think it's time to introduce our guest for today, Amy Dang. And personally, I think we have a superstar guest for our first episode and could not have begun any better. Amy is a rockstar MSBA student in addition to being a social media influencer for all things coffee and food. She works as a mergers and acquisitions consultant for PwC, and I'm just being really humble when I say her energy and infectious smile is beyond compare. Our favorite memory of Amy is when she won the Best Student Award for the MSBA and cried on stage in front of all of us. So, Amy, say hi to all of our listeners. Welcome to our show, and thanks for being here.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me. I'm actually really excited now after your, energetic and descriptive introductions. It feels like we're back in Carpenter Center and just shooting the shit to each other. But yeah, happy to be on.
Excellent. The only difference here, Amy, is that nobody can stop me from talking. So, you know, you figure out a way to do that. All right, how's it going,
we'll
Amy?
Just mute your microphone.
You can't. I'm the admin for this meeting.
Wait. So episode one, are we bleeping that out, or are we just going to keep it? I think we can just keep it and set the standard that this is now a PG-13 show.
Yeah, we're not beeping anything.
I mean, I don't think anyone under 13 is going to be listening to SGD.
I mean, nobody knows.
Fine.
Anything. So yeah, how's it going, Amy? How do you feel being on our show?
I feel honored and humbled to be your first guest speaker. But honestly, obviously it's been super busy with life and whatnot. And I know it took me like 2 months to like get my questionnaire back to you guys, but I'm glad that we're here now and we can catch up, even though it's like formal, informal setting, but I'm glad we have like this time carved out to actually just like talk and see what's going on with life. Yeah.
Excellent. On my part, as I said, right. I just got 4 bottles of wine. The weather in Texas is really nice. I plan on drinking all of them this evening. What about you, Corey?
Oh man, so, you know, business as usual, like I just kind of stay inside as much as I can, avoiding the virus outside, playing all the video games that I want. My backlog went from like 20 games high to now like 15 to 17. So it feels good. And I'm ready for another like 2 or 3 more years of quarantine, if you ask me.
Excellent. How do you feel about the quarantine, Amy?
Let's see. As you said, I am currently working as a consultant. So prior to quarantine, my last flight was actually the week prior to like just like national lockdown. So prior to quarantine, I was traveling on the road Monday through Thursday, you know, getting on 2 flights a week, if not, you know, yeah, I mean, and then traveling for at least like 3.5 hours and everything. So it was definitely really weird to get adjusted to not going anywhere, especially not like I wasn't even commuting, right? I was literally traveling. So that's been really weird. And then So I will say I miss it a little bit, but the good thing is, to all of our listeners, when I started work, I actually started in Dallas, but then I moved to LA in February, so about a month before quarantine. Obviously, at that time, I think all of us kind of like heard about COVID, coronavirus, like there were a couple cases, whatever, but we didn't know the extent, right? And it just felt very foreign, like it wouldn't reach the US. So it was like business as usual. So the good thing is about quarantine though, is because when I moved, I had basically just set up like a couple big things, like, you know, my bed, a sofa, and that was like pretty much it, and like my kitchen. So when I came back, I literally had no table, nothing to work on. So for the first month and a half, I literally just worked on my sofa, which is absolutely awful, and like my coffee table. And I finally got like a dining table. And then a month ago, I finally got a desk and like a chair to actually work on. So the good thing is I actually get to live in LA, even though with everything being shut down. But I think LA is very conducive to outdoor living. It finally got cooler this week, but besides that, it's just pretty much been like a mild summer throughout the whole quarantine, which is really nice.
So Amy, real quick, for the folks who are interested in your job and your career, what is your job actually?
That is a great question. This is a $1 million question. Honestly, consulting is so hard to explain to people.
Can I try to answer it for $1 million?
Yes, actually, yes. Corey, you know what? Tell me what you think consultants do.
Oh, no. I'm good. you can have it back.
I really want to know.
Oh my goodness. Well, my guess is that you guys travel around a lot and you work on problems for companies and you kind of show them like industry standards that your company and other consulting companies have kind of come up with. I feel like that's kind of my interaction with a bunch of consultants have been in my time. I've only interacted with like two or three. Hmm. Do I win $1 million now?
No.
That's actually pretty accurate, honestly. A lot of it is problem solving-ish to a certain extent. I will say though, whenever I do get asked this question, so the one unique thing is though, like Sagar said, I am in M&A, so mergers and acquisitions. So a lot of times there isn't really necessarily like, you know, what you traditionally think, like consulting's coming in to help like increase sales and like, you know, reduce costs and all, like, you know, HR transformation, all these kind of like typical consulting things you would think of, like when you're case prepping, whatever in school. So with mergers acquisitions, I've been on 3 divestitures. So helping companies carve out a part of their business, whether it's getting sold to a different one or, you know, they're getting like standalone kind of like they become their own separate company or like merge with another one if they were being bought out. So with that comes with like so many different things, like, you know, helping that company be ready on day one, because when a company separates, there are so many different things. You have your financials, you have your people you have to take care of, your systems, your data, and all these things. So a lot of the roles I've been in have kind of been niche roles. Either it's in like system implementation, like data validation, whatever, or most recently now I'm kind of more in like a been more on like PMO type work stream, so project management, making sure that everyone who is working on these different moving parts, everything is moving along, because you come the day that the company separates, everything can't just like shut down, right? It has to be kind of seamless, like business as usual. And you're right, like I think a lot of times with consulting, you are kind of like implementing your best practices that you've seen across all these different companies and then moving like lift and shift to like different ones depending, and then each company has their own like nuances and problems and all that. So yeah, that was actually very accurate.
Awesome. Nice. So it does sound like you're like a divorce lawyer, but I mean, I'm just making it very simple.
You know what, Sagar, I never thought about it that way, but yes, practically a divorce lawyer, making sure both sides are happy, separation is good, never want to talk to each other again. It's all good.
Yeah. Okay. So one thing that when I came to the United States, I started my first job. One thing that everybody focuses on here is bringing your entire self to work, Now, I don't know what that means, but has PwC been able to leverage your aiminess in some way?
That's hilarious. I will say, I think in corporate America, it's a little different, I think, but I have gotten feedback, like at work at least, where like you said, kind of like energy and also just like optimism, positivity is like always good for like team building mm-hmm. dynamics and all that. And of course, in a virtual environment, I think it's really hard to get to your team because with every project, you're actually working just like completely different people. But I feel like, you know, I'm okay with that. Like, I feel like I can generally build rapport and like relationships relatively easily. And then also whenever we did have like real teams like in person, I was the designated person to choose restaurants and then food places and order and whatnot. So yes, I did leverage that part for all these like team dinners and whatnot. So that was great. But yeah, I think sometimes it's hard though, because I feel like generally I'm a little more of a creative person, and the extent of my creativity at work is building PowerPoint decks, which isn't, you know, that creative. So
yeah.
Yeah, so then my outlet is my Instagram.
Excellent. Corey, you had a question.
Oh yeah, I had this, well, you had this question and then you pawned it off on me on our.
talking too much.
Okay, fine. So Amy, anyone who knows you is familiar with your wife system, where you have a work wife, a school wife, sometimes a wife. Do you have a new work wife?
Oh my God. Helena, if you're listening, you're my one and only. Okay, MS Bay, all that. No, I actually do not have a new work wife because it's a very male-dominated industry. So a lot of the times my team, I'm either the only female or there's literally like only one other. And most people are actually older. A lot of people in my the niche like M&A consulting role, a lot of people are actually post MBA. So there's not a lot of people my age at all. So yeah, that's no work wife. I am loyal and in a monogamous relationship with my wife.
that did sound like monotonous, but I'm gonna give it to you. Monotonous? Yeah.
Monotonous. Yes.
Helena is very happy right now.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the wifey. Real...
Yeah.
So a serious question then, do you have any advice for women of maybe your age or I guess, I don't know, like position in life to get into a similar career as you? That way you can have a work life in the future.
That's a great question. I think you have to be confident in yourself, and even though sometimes it can be really, really, and trust me, like, I mean, I have imposter syndrome as well. And especially I think with more traditional financial companies, like your corporate America settings, where a lot of people on up top are like just white men, who have like this authoritative aura around them and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I think you have to know that you are brought in as a specialist. You need to own it. A lot of it just takes like experience. I will say, like, you know, I just passed like my 1 year mark at PwC, and looking back of like me a year ago versus me now, I'm still like, you know, still probably like the bottom of the food chain, but I do feel a lot more confident in my work. And there is kind of like a lot of red tape and hierarchy and all that. But I think if you do your work really well and you own it, you don't doubt yourself, because I think the way you come off too affects the way people perceive you. That, and then just, I don't know, I think leverage your strengths of being like, you know, minority female in the room, and don't think that as like a disadvantage. Yeah.
Wise words, Amy.
Very wise words.
All right. So she spoke about Instagram, Corey, and I do see that that's a brilliant segue into our next question.
Yes. So from here out, it'll be less serious and less work talk and more fun. So you mentioned Instagram, and so that kind of brings us to this question that we have, where we ask, what have you done away from work since the program, which I'm assuming is Instagram? So are there any new hobbies or trends that you want the listeners at home to be aware of?
New hobbies or trends? Let's see.
Like, did you get into the bread baking with everyone else when quarantine started?
I did get into bread baking.
Both?
It was
crazy.
It was kind of stressful, honestly.
Yeah.
It took like 2 days, which is like, I didn't even make sourdough. Okay. Like, that's a whole commitment. But it was good. Would I do it again? Probably not. When I can just like, there are so many like good bakeries here in like LA. So I'm like, I'm not going to waste my time. So I did a lot of baking in quarantine. Yes. Let's see what else. I impulse bought a Peloton, which I did. So, but it was literally on back order though. Like I ordered this in, I think like August or something, and it's finally arriving on Monday. So it was like super, super back ordered. So I'm super excited for that, because if anybody also knows me, I like to go to group fitness classes, like your Orange Theory, your Soul Cycle, all these things. So it was like, honestly, really hard to work out at home.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just really like group settings. I just need someone yelling at me at like 6 a.m. in the morning, you know? So I'm very excited for my Peloton to come in. What else? New hobbies? I think that's pretty much, I like home decor renovation kind of thing, because like I said, this is most time I've spent in like an apartment. This is my first apartment alone too. So yeah.
So for our listeners, because you can't see Amy's video, I can attest that her house looks really beautiful. And so she's not kidding about decor. I think in terms of COVID hobbies, I baked like banana bread twice, but when I learned how much sugar goes into it, I just gave that all away to my friends who will become soon. So, I mean, there's some downside to being my friend, but yeah, I mean, anyway, it was fun.
Hiking.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
hiking. There's like so many like small trails and whatever in LA. And like, also a good thing is like, honestly, a lot of things are kind of like drivable. So even if you want to go to like Malibu, San Diego, like whatever, it's easily do like a day trip. So yeah.
Wow. That sounds amazing. She does say that she likes people yelling at her, Corey. Remember when we used to yell at each other in the MSBA?
I do. That was the best. Amy, do you need someone to yell at you at 6 a.m. in the morning? I have to.
You could do
Yeah, not this type of yelling, but I'll let you know if I change my mind.
Okay.
We could be very motivating. I mean, it's going to be 8 a.m. my time, so it's doable for me.
Yeah, okay. I'll let you know how my Peloton goes. If that doesn't work, I'll let you guys know.
You know, we could record a track for you to play on while you're using Peloton. You can just kind of run through this track of us yelling at you and each other.
I think I'd get so like flustered. I would just stop biking and just like, no, it's not working.
No, are you sure? Okay.
Awesome, Corey. I heard you say, you know, you're having a tough time finding new restaurants, and Amy is our in-house expert for new restaurants. So, Amy, in this new world, how do you find a new place? And if you don't want to go outside or cook your own food, how do you know if a place is worth buying from and getting food delivered, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Well, LA is definitely like a huge like foodie city in general. And what I really like too is that there's so many like cultural pockets in LA where it's like kind of like, I guess, more authentic. Because I think we'd all agree Asian food in Austin sucks, like the authentic ones. There's a lot of fusion.
Wait, what?
Not that good. And there's not that much to choose from. Okay, compared to like Houston, Bel Air, Corey, come on.
Okay, yes. But remember, I'm from San Antonio. So Austin compared to San Antonio is a huge step up.
Oh, for sure. Oh, no, Austin's a great foodie city. But like in terms of like authentic Asian foods, you know. But anyways, in LA, ton of places. I follow a lot of like LA food bloggers too, and have like befriended a couple of them on Instagram, which is great. Even like I've met up with one of them. She actually works at PwC too. I know. And a lot of like foodie types in LA, because I think it's like, you know, there's so many places here. And then how do I find new places? Honestly, like, you know, bookmarking places they've been to, and then just seeing like what's around, getting friend recommendations, reading like articles from like Eater, Infatuation, Time Out, Thrillist are great sources I like to go to. They usually have like list roundups of like whatever you're feeling, right? Like the best brunch places, the best dinner, like the best hole in the walls, all these things. Yeah. And then like also where I live, Pasadena, it's also like pretty much a very like foodie type area too. So there's like a ton of places always popping up and whatnot. So yeah.
Got it. Let me ask my question. Has the foodie landscape even changed because of COVID, or is being a foodie kind of the same?
It definitely has changed. I think obviously people aren't dining out. Like I don't know if indoor dining is even open in LA. It just might be outdoor dining, takeout and whatever. So yeah, I don't think indoor dining is open, but you know, like I said, LA is very conducive to outdoor living. So I think outdoor dining works in LA, honestly, and it doesn't get that cold yet. So I think restaurants operating outside is still fine. People have been super creative with like their use of space and whatnot. But a lot of like very limited, because you can't have like a beautiful spread of brunch, you know, like as you were dining in the restaurant, like maybe a restaurant only does like takeout, right? Yeah. So you can only make to-go food look so good. But then I think there's like also a lot of resources now where it's like foodies will be a little more informative about like health protocols, like whether a place has outdoor dining, is it takeout only, curbside pickup, all these things. Or actually a good thing too is like a lot of like maybe more higher end restaurants that would normally need reservations or like super, you know, you have to get like a set menu, whatever. A lot of them now are doing kind of like more affordable takeout options where it's still like a set, but it's not like, you know, your whole experience. Because a lot of times when you're dining out too, you're paying for the experience. A lot of what the cost of your food is the experience, the people and all these things, not just like the cost of the goods. So like, you know, a couple, like really nice Japanese restaurants here have done like more affordable bento boxes. There's more like kind of like exclusive like experiences now you can also like book in advance. It's been like different and fun. Like I've been trying to get on this like bento wait list for like 6 months now, and I have failed every single time. Yeah, because they only have 20 bentos a weekend. It's only Saturday and Sunday. It's like $50. But they release their month reservation, like in the entire month reservation, 10 o'clock on the first Saturday of the month. Within like 2 minutes, it's always booked. Always. Oh. So pissed.
Oh, wow.
That is amazing.
You could bot it. Can't you bot the page?
What? Oh.
Can't you make a bot to get in on 2 minutes? To it. Oh, okay.
You could write a scraper that... does it
right but, okay that does
puts
it
in your credit card information all that so yeah
Corey, for more information, let me just tell you and let me just tell our listeners that Amy has a very nice Instagram page, and it goes by the name Dang Good Life. And if you follow that page, you're going to learn a lot about what's the best place to eat near you, where's the best coffee, and what's just the best looking place to be. So that's a good resource for all of you listeners.
That's right.
And Corey,
you said in good luck.
You're welcome. Now's the part where we, you know, warm your heart and sort of start closing the show very slowly. And so I would like to ask you, what's your favorite memory of the MSBA?
Oh, this is hard.
It does not have to include us.
It should not.
I know.
Our social media project is definitely my favorite of like all the group projects at MSBA. That was so fun. Favorite moment? I think I was actually, okay, let me think. I think either it was a party at Abraham's. I would say that over Baru's party, honestly, because Baru's party was fun. It was, I think, our first like party
yeah.
for all of us, right? So it was a good like icebreaker kind of that like really bonded our group, I felt. And it was fine, like it was with other people, it was grand, it was lavish, it was fine. But I felt like Abraham's party was like very chill, more of a kickback, and that's kind of like more comfortable with all of us too. It was just MSBA. We were literally just chilling, hanging together. Food was amazing. Everyone like, you know, it was kind of more potluck style. So yeah. It was like really great to like just see what people brought. No frills. It was just like us hanging out. I don't think there was even a video game thing set up. So it was like,
That's a great memory. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me of that. I remember.
How did you forget?
I remember I had more than appropriate shots of tequila that day.
Yes, I remember.
I do remember.
Graduation. We were the last class so far that has graduated in person.
That's right.
And it was just one of those moments where like, damn, we made it. Like, it wasn't just like I made it, but it's like we made it. And everyone was so like, you know, their families came, whoever could. Everyone was so dressed up so nicely because half of us all the time were all like in like scrubby looking clothing, like really down most days. It was just like a really like momentous moment in our entire program. Obviously that makes sense, it's graduation, but it just really felt good because like everyone was there, you know.
I agree with that.
Wow,
I feel my heart is warming up, Corey.
All right, Amy, so for our next question, it's really more of a shout out. Do you want to give a nice message to everybody who's listening, or is there a specific someone that you want to give a secret message to that only they would understand? Like they owe you some money or material goods or organs or something else.
That's a good one. Let me, I need to refer back to, actually shout out to our Dangshi Cute page too. If you need some machine learning, data science type puns, that's a great resource.
Can you spell that out for us?
dang.shi.cute. It is my wife, Helena, my joint Instagram page, because during MSBA, we actually twinned a lot. We were one and the same pretty much. But wow, what simpler times. We look so happy in this. How cute. But anyways, let's see, shout out. Honestly, I like truly miss our MSBA class. I really felt like we had a really good dynamic. Of course, there were like, you know, little groups going on, but overall, like there was, I never felt like a sense of, you know, being like excluded or a sense of like competitiveness. Everyone was so willing to help each other. And it was kind of one of those like silver lining kind of feelings, because MSB honestly was probably like one of the hardest, like roughest times of my life, like the year of like my 24 years of living. I just really hope that like, you know, at the end of it all, everyone was able to like get what they wanted out of the program, whether it be like a job, relationships, friendships, whatever it is. And I just like, you know, hopefully everyone, them, like themselves healthy, and also like their family and friends, just like, you know, COVID things. And I hope that we can all have like a true reunion sometime soon.
So if our listeners are thinking that Amy is being extra nice for this episode, that is entirely not true. She's always this nice.
Thanks, Sagar.
And okay, finally, the one question that you did not answer is that now that you have suffered through our episode, who is the one person you feel should also go through this pain with us?
Let me think. Who would be?
Who would be a great sacrificial goat, I guess?
Sacrificial lamb.
Lamb. I'm from a foreign land.
You're from a foreign land. Okay.
Let me go through our group me roster. Besides one, for sure, Helena, right?
Definitely.
Atindra.
Ooh.
Yes, he's on our list.
Yes, Atindra would be great. Chelsea.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's
are you going down alphabetically?
Don't do that.
Well, this just seems like
you start with the
she is going down alphabetically.
Henry.
Oh, Henry. Okay. Henry, I agree. Okay, all of those are great recommendations.
All right.
What we're going to do, Corey, is let's send out our survey questionnaire to all of these people.
Survey questionnaire, and, that's right.
And add a message in there that says, Amy really wants you on this show.
And then Amy won't be there, but yes. Yes,
but definitely. We will be
Veer.
People
Veer.
On the list.
Oh, Veer, yes. Okay, our graduation course, speaker. Course. Yes, of course.
Yes.
Excellent. Corey, you want to close out the show?
Yeah. Thanks for joining us today, Amy. It was a pleasure. Thank you for honoring us with your presence for our first episode. Also, reminder, shout outs to Helena, Atindra, Henry, Chelsea, and Veer. You've been called out to now go through Stochastic Gradient Descent.
They have.
And so that's all for the first episode. Thanks to everyone listening. And on our next episode, we will talk to someone who went from being a gym freak to now being a jiu-jitsu freak. My Chevron buddy, Mark Bev. Hey there, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the first episode of Stochastic Gradient Descent with Sagar and Corey. If you want to hear more from our conversation with Amy, we've got a piece of bonus content that we couldn't quite fit into the episode.
Oh my God, wait, can we do like a bonus, like special? What
yeah.
are your, I guess like common corporate phrases or things that you kind of use sarcastically, or like one of those, what's the word where it's like euphemisms, I guess?
Yeah.
Like corporate
yeah.
euphemisms that you guys use, or you think is really funny.
For me, I think we do use like in meetings when there's a real question, we'll be like, let's take that offline. I think this discussion should not be
that
interrupted.
That happens
yeah.
to me a lot too.
That's a lot of like, Verbo is a lot of let's take this offline, or like, that's great feedback. We will think about that. I think that's just the one phrase you say when you don't want to think about that. It's just,
mm-hmm.
we'll think about that means that, shut up.
Shut up.
And then my best one is, I'm sorry, were you talking to me?
Oh.
Oh man, because I'm sleeping when I have 8 a.m. meetings, I'm just half asleep.
I see. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, any questions? I'm like, I'm sorry, was that for me? I did not hear that.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a good one.
Tell
Those are very good ones.
Tell us your list.
Oh, hello. What's my email doing there?
Sorry.
I was
no.
like, are you pulling out your email for like proof or something?
No. I'm looking at the wall over here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Corey, what's yours? I want to know.
I don't really have any. I don't really think of anything. I nothing comes to mind. Honestly, I'm like kind of isolated, so I just do my own work from my own home like most of the time. I don't really talk to many people during the day.
Yeah, okay. All right. Sagar, I would agree. I think, you know, the nice way of saying that like shit I don't know / like I'm probably not gonna respond to you is that's a great question.
Yeah.
Let me circle back with my team and I'll get back to you.
You guys are crazy.
That, but yes, let's take this offline is a good way to not, I think it's like a semi-serious too, because you don't want to like
yeah.
waste everyone else's time, right? On this call
right.
for like this one very specific question. Something to be like, you know, whenever they don't pull their weight or like they forgot, be like, as discussed, or like per our previous discussion,
I
just wanted to follow up on my previous email. I don't know. One thing I saw really, like, you know how like all emails, most emails now, I don't know if it's like now 6 months into quarantine, but I still feel like people always open up with hope all is well, hope you're keeping safe and like staying, you know,
uh-huh.
all these things. I saw one that was, I thought was hilarious. It's like, hope you're keeping positive and testing negative.